circling gesture with my hand. Ken nodded in understanding and moved to circle around it. Without the tracking skill, I could have wandered for days without finding a silver slime. But finding it was only the first part of the problem. Actually beating one was much, much harder. Once Ken was in position, I raised my bow and fired. My arrow bounced right off the creature's side. I muttered a curse. This wasn't unexpected. Silver slimes were notoriously resilient, but I'd hoped to get in a lucky shot. The slime did exactly what I'd expected in response. It ran. Or rather, it hopped. It hopped very, very fast. I dropped my bow and rushed after it, but there was no chance I could catch it on my own. Fortunately, Ken was already waiting on the opposite side of the clearing. I chased the slime right toward him. Ken slashed the slime, and I heard a loud clang on the impact. The slime froze, leaking silvery goop from a cut in its surface. Then, before I could get close to it or Ken could swing again, it opened its mouth and breathed fire. I did not know it could do that. Based on Ken's panicked expression as he fell backward, I didn't think he'd known that either. So, following that, we had two problems. One, the slime was running, really hopping, away again. And two, Ken was on fire. He was on fire a lot. "Ah!" he screamed. "Ah!" I replied articulately. Not being trained for fire safety, I simply doused him with a healing potion. That let off some kind of smoke, which might not have been healthy, but it did put out some of the fire. After that, Ken rolled around in the green ooze on the forest floor a bit. I reached down to help him up, but he shook his head. "After it, quick! There's still time!" I nodded gravely. "You will be avenged." "I'm not actually dead." I bolted after the slime. I had two trails to follow now, one of dripping goop, and the other a silvery line in my vision. As long as it stayed within range, I could follow it. Unfortunately, it was faster than I was, so chasing it meant that it would eventually get out of range unless I did something to change the chase. After following it a short way, I climbed a tree. The slime on the trees was slippery and disgusting, but fortunately not actually dangerous. At least, as far as I knew. I wasn't quite sure I could climb back down safely, but I had a plan for that. From the high vantage point atop the tree, I could just barely see the slime hopping away in the distance, still looking panicked. Blink! I hadn't teleported that far with Blink before, but the slime was still within line of sight. It worked. I appeared right in front of the slime. It was briefly startled. "Slime Slayer!" I brought my sword upward. The silver slime fell into two perfect halves.
"Your party has killed a silver slime. You have earned 1,723 experience points."
For the first time since the start of my plans, one of my crazy ideas had actually worked. Step 5. Defeat the deadly monsters to increase your abilities. Ken, who definitely wasn't dead but still had been thoroughly avenged, was looking much better by the time I got back to him. He'd healed his own injuries with his magic. He was, like me, covered in goop, but his smile and thumbs-up gesture showed that he, too, had received an absurd number of experience points. I handed him half the impressive pile of silver coins the silver slime had dropped when it died, then we headed back to town. I intended to shower forever. We rented a room at a fancy inn, one with showers. Beautiful, amazing showers. I felt a little sorry for the staff of the inn that would have to clean up after us. I tipped heavily. When I closed my eyes in the shower, I saw three beautiful, amazing messages.
"You have gained a level. You have reached level 3. You have gained a level. You have reached level 4. You have gained a level. You have reached level 5.
The silver slime had given us months' worth of experience and coins in a single fight. At that point, I had another critical decision to make. Every time I gained a level, I could choose which class to allocate that level to. Higher levels in a specific class would unlock more powerful abilities geared toward that class. In addition, each level in a class also improved a person's physical and sometimes magical abilities. For example, levels in a blacksmith class would permanently increase someone's physical strength, and levels in any magic-using class would provide an increased amount of mana available for casting spells. Many of the most powerful skills and spells required a high level in one specific class. So spreading levels out all over the place wasn't generally considered wise. If I wanted to excel in any given field, I'd eventually have to choose something to specialize in. So, did I want to invest more in my slime hunter class to make hunting slimes even more efficient? While I didn't see myself hunting slimes forever, levels in this class would also improve my general physical combat abilities, so it was a viable option. Did I want to level my bag mage class instead, and hope I could unlock more powerful dimensional magic? This was a gamble, since I didn't know what kind of dimensional magic was available to a high-level bag mage, but I would also be increasing my available mana each time I gained a level. Or, did I want to choose a third class entirely? Perhaps a more conventional one? If I wanted to fight the Demon King directly at some point in time, taking a class designed for combat, like a fighter or fire mage class, might be a wise choice. It was a difficult decision, but for my long-term plans, dimensional magic was essential. There were two main reasons for this. First, when I'd last attempted to store the pedestal that held the hero sword in my inventory, the message in response was that the pedestal had resisted my spell. Magic resistance was something that could, in theory, be overridden by powerful enough magic, and that meant a higher level in the relevant class, a higher skill level, or a more powerful individual spell. Second, dimensional magic was extraordinarily rare, and something that I didn't think the Demon King was likely to have developed complete countermeasures against. I had no illusions about beating the Demon King in a sword fight, even with the hero's sword. I'd need every advantage I could get, and dimensional magic felt like one of the best possible ways to get the edge I needed. So, I leveled up my bag mage class 3 times. I immediately felt amazing. There was a brief euphoric feeling as I sensed new power and a wider well of mana flowing within me. And, despite choosing a magic-wielding class, I felt just a little bit tougher, too. I'd felt some improvement when I'd gained my first level, but this was much more obvious. Gaining 3 levels at once was a tremendous increase in my capabilities. Beyond those benefits, I'd also acquired something entirely new.
You have learned a new skill, Cheapskate.
I stared at the skill, uncertain. What the heck is that? Something that gives me discounts on buying things? No, that doesn't make sense. That would require some kind of mind control. Maybe. I tried casting Blink. Casting it once didn't feel any different. But after casting it 3 times, I didn't feel like I'd reached my limit. I cast it again and again, my grin widening with each successful use. I didn't stop until after I'd cast the spell a total of 8 times. Cheapskate, it seemed, didn't save me money. It saved me mana. Sadly, I couldn't tell exactly how much Cheapskate was saving, since increasing my level had also increased my available mana. Either way, gaining the levels had made a huge improvement to how many spells I could cast in a row. For an ordinary bag mage, that savings might have simply been a convenience. For me, it was a lifesaver. Fully showered and leveled up, I indulged myself in ordering food delivered to the room, then had a fitful sleep for the night. 2 months passed. Many, many silver slimes were killed. Ken and I hunted each day. Most days, we only managed to find a single slime, Sometimes, if we were lucky, we'd find two or three. The plan was working masterfully. We were earning experience and gold at a rate comparable to high-level adventurers, but with virtually no risk. We eventually stopped for three main reasons. One, I was concerned about overhunting the region. Monsters respawned over time, but their reproductive process was poorly understood. If I killed too many silver slimes, I was worried I'd wipe them out entirely from the area and ruin the prospect of others, or even ourselves, doing the same thing again in the future. The second problem was diminishing returns. While we did earn significant experience for killing the slimes, as we gained higher and higher levels, the increasing experience requirements meant that killing slimes became progressively less efficient. Toward the end, it was taking us several days of killing one or two slimes a day to earn a single level. And while that is actually pretty impressive by ordinary leveling standards, we'd gotten used to it being super easy at the start, so we didn't have the kind of patience for it that we should have. And third, it was very, very boring. While storing a rock, or a ring, or whatever, over and over was more boring in concept, that was something I could do casually while in the midst of other activities. This dominated nearly our entire day, and it was exhausting, smelly work. I have no complaints about the results, but it's not something I would ever want to repeat. After all of that hunting, we'd gained several levels. We were both a total of level 11. In my case, that meant 9 levels of bag mage and 2 levels of slime hunter. That extra slime hunter level didn't get me much, just a skill called ambidexterity. It felt a little weird being able to use my offhand almost as well as my main hand, but I wasn't going to complain about it. I did wonder what would happen if someone who was naturally ambidextrous got the skill, though. Would they get better with using both hands? Skills were often a mystery like that. More importantly, being level 9 as a bag mage got me a few new skills, as well as several new spells. Skill-wise, the first thing I got was something called unencumbered. That made it easier for me to wear or carry items without feeling their weight, even if they weren't in my inventory. The amount I could carry without feeling it would depend on my level in the skill. I was pleased, since it seemed like the kind of thing I could increase just by wearing stuff. Beyond that, I got 2 more items of interest. One was double bag, which let me have 2 separate inventories, each with the same capacity. This didn't seem super immediately useful, especially since I could already carry an incredible number of items, but I figured it would come in handy at some point. Maybe I could use it for easier organization, or just fill up my second bag with something I didn't want to contaminate the things in the first, like anything poisonous. I wasn't actually sure if items inside the inventory interacted with each other. That was worth testing at some point. Preferably without making my inventory explode by putting 2 volatile things next to each other. Finally, my most important new skill was carry anything. It enabled me to safely carry items that would normally hurt anyone who didn't meet certain requirements. It didn't actually let me use those items, but it meant that I could pick up a cursed item and put it back down without hurting myself. That was neat. Did it let me pull a certain legendary sword out of a certain stone in a shrine? Of course not. There was no way it would be that simple. I grumbled a little bit after my last failed attempt, but it wasn't exactly unexpected. Maybe I should try taking a level in thief, I mumbled.
People have already tried to use the pickpocket skill on the sword. Repeatedly, Ken explained. It's a clever notion, but apparently even high-level thieves have difficulty stealing things that are embedded into an enchanted platform.
I sighed. I suppose thief might still be useful anyway. Could I steal things directly into my inventory? Maybe I could use that to disarm people.
I don't think taking levels in thief is going to be good for your heroic reputation.
I shrugged. I don't really care about that. I care about succeeding. If I have to take some sketchy classes to accomplish that, I'll do it. But I'll hold off on thief for the moment. I still think I can get more useful stuff out of higher-level magic. I'd already gotten some pretty neat spells just by increasing my bag mage level to 9. Spells were a little strange. In order to learn a new spell, you'd have to have both the required level in the skill, like, say, level 25 in dimensional magic, and a high enough level in the appropriate class. So, you could either get a spell when you reached a specific skill threshold, if your class level was already high enough, or right when you leveled up, if your skill level was already high enough. There were also some weird, rare spells that weren't learned automatically, but that you could learn from books or scrolls if you met the appropriate requirements. Anyway, in my case, I got most of my new spells on leveling, since I used my skills so much more than normal people in my level range. In terms of bag magic, I learned 3 new spells: View, Sort, and Project. View projected a list of all the current items in my inventory into a glowing, phantasmal parchment in front of me. I could already see my own inventory without it, but this projection was visible to other people. That meant it would be useful for people like shopkeepers, I assumed. Sort could be used to change the order of how those items were listed, like by category or by date obtained. And Project created a solid illusion of one of the items from my list so that I could show it to someone. The illusion could be picked up and moved around, but it wasn't very durable and didn't have any of the properties of the original item. The spell was designed for displaying merchandise, not for fighting. They were all potentially useful, but Project excited me the most. It would be especially helpful if I actually got up to any thievery, since I could project a duplicate of whatever I took. A quick test told me that the illusions were pretty hard to tell apart at a glance, and they lasted quite a while. Most important, though, were my new dimensional magic spells. The phase spell let me move through walls and other solid objects. No, it didn't let me phase my hand through the pedestal beneath the sword to try to steal it that way. I did try. My hand bounced off an invisible shield. And Anchor would temporarily make a target immune to teleportation, useful if I ran into any monsters or traps that wanted to move me around. In Ken's case, he was now a level 9 sword saint and a level 2 fashionista. He'd unlocked a number of new spells throughout the leveling process, most importantly, Moderate Heal, Antidote, Protect, and Bless Weapon. Those spells did exactly what they sounded like. I didn't know what the fashionista levels were for. He told me he had big plans and that it would be a surprise. I tried not to be too nervous about that. I was too busy being worried about something far more important. It was time to go to our first dungeon. Step 6. Use the traditional steps to defeat each dungeon. It took close to a week to get to our destination, a colossal withered tree. Once, it might have stood hundreds of feet in height. Now it was merely about 50, with the entire top portion having been burned away. Even centuries after the event, I could see hints of ashes mixed in with the nearby dirt and stone. According to legend, it was once one of the 5 sacred silver trees that had assisted one of the first heroes with their journey. In the aftermath of the failure of the Water Temple hero, the hero who disappeared into the Water Temple without ever returning, the Demon King had taken it upon himself to obliterate many of the hero's traditional allies. Nearly all the sacred silver trees had been among them. Now, it had 3 holes in the base that looked almost like eyes and a mouth, stretched out in one final scream. It was a harrowing sight. I steeled myself. This was no longer simply a remnant of the past or the corpse of an ancient being. It was the entrance to a labyrinth, the Wood Temple, the first of the 5 temples. Each of the 5 temples was dedicated to a single element. That theme would influence both the entrance and, at times, the contents of the temple itself. The temples served a critical function. They each held a single piece of the Pentacrest, a legendary artifact that, once assembled, would give the holder the power to breach the barrier around the Demon King's fortress. Without it, confronting the Demon King was largely impossible. Earning one piece would be the first step toward a true path to victory. Ken and I walked to the side of the tree. I put a hand on the tree's bark. "I'm sorry that it ended for you like this. You'll be avenged." With that, I led the way into the tree's gaping maw.
"Are you really sure this is such a good idea?"
Ken sounded nervous as I led the way inside. I had a sword in one hand and a lantern in the other as I led the way down the stairway inside the tree's mouth. I don't know why there was a stairway in the tree's mouth. Probably the same reason there are weird dungeons that refill themselves with loot every 100 years. The gods have some odd ways of looking at how heroes should prove their worth. "No, of course I'm not sure it's a good idea. I am sure, however, that it's something I want to do. Something I need to do. This world needs saving, Ken."
"It does. It's just, we don't have all the things a hero would normally have for a journey like this. We don't have a fairy guide, any musical instruments, bombs.
I don't think we're going to need explosives to make our way through a tree, Ken. Even if it's a monster-infested tree that has..." I frowned as I reached the bottom of the stairs. A weirdly elaborate stone building beneath it. I'd heard legends about the 5 temples before, of course. I'd studied them extensively, but there was still something strange about walking from a forest into a tree and finding what looked like an ancient palace inside. The first room was almost perfectly square, about 20 feet in each direction, with solid gray stone floors and walls. It was lit by ever-burning magical torches. I put a hand on one of them, impressed. "Inventory."
"Your bag magic has successfully overcome this object's magic resistance."
A smirk crossed my face as the magic torch vanished into my inventory. Apparently, my bag mage level and inventory skill level were high enough to overcome some magic resistance now. If I kept working at it, maybe I'd eventually be able to grab some more secure items. The room dimmed, but there were still 3 other torches, so I thought I was probably fine.
"That actually worked?"
Ken's expression showed a mixture of surprise and concern. I suppose he probably wasn't thrilled that I was taking something that could qualify as a sacred object. "Yeah, I'm surprised it worked too. I figured I'd need that pickpocket skill or something to get it off the wall, but no. Apparently the enchantments here aren't as secure as the swords."
"Are you just going to steal everything in here?"
I shrugged. "I mean, not everything. Some things won't be useful." Ken groaned.
"Let's get this over with."
Aside from the torches, the room was mostly unadorned. There were a couple conspicuous large stone blocks toward the center, as well as 3 doors, one straight ahead from the stairs, one on the left side of the room, and one on the right. All the doors were stone, rather than wood. They had creases in the center and gems located on the right side. It was a bit of an odd design, but I'd heard about it before. If we touched the gem after meeting whatever the requirements were, the door would open for us. The one straight ahead of us had a huge lock on it, as well as a comically large lock painted on it. "I think it might be locked, Ken."
"I think you might be right."
The other 2 doors didn't have any such symbols. I presumed they were either unlocked or opened by a mechanism connected to the big stone blocks in the center. "Now's probably the time to get ready," I instructed Ken. He nodded, casting a suite of beneficial spells on us.
"Protect. Bless. Bless weapon. Lesser strength."
He took a breath after that. Using that much mana rapidly was a bit draining, but as long as this room was safe, we could always rest back here if we needed to. And I vastly preferred being over-prepared rather than under. We went left first, swords drawn and ready. Imposing stone pillars were interspersed throughout the chamber, running from floor to ceiling. Beyond that, I didn't see anything notable at first, There were no other doors, no obvious monsters, no clear pressure plates to indicate traps or puzzles. I frowned, stepping inside. I'd made a novice mistake. I'd looked down and ahead, but I'd forgotten to look up. There was a horrifying screech as the room's threats descended from the ceiling, fangs wide and ready to rend flesh from bone. The first of the creatures attacked before I could properly react, trying to take a bite out of my shoulder. I felt a surge of panic as it closed its jaws and completely failed to pierce my ordinary leather armor. I slapped the bat off my shoulder, blinking. Is that an ordinary fruit bat?
I'm certain it must not be. Surely it is some sort of fearsome bat demon.
I narrowed my eyes. Pretty sure that's a fruit bat. Another bat slammed into me, head first. I ignored it. It couldn't have weighed more than a couple pounds. Ken took a swing at it while it retreated, but missed. Are we actually fighting these? I gestured with my lantern. I feel kind of bad about it. They just live here. Another bat flew at Ken, but he stepped out of the way. It crashed into a wall. They also don't seem very smart. Ken nodded.
They are but the weakest of the Demon King's minions. A mere taste of his formidable power.
Right, right. I frowned. I just feel sort of bad for them. Can we check the other room?
Sure, I guess.
Ken dodged another bat and we stepped out of the room. The bats didn't follow us, in spite of the door being wide open. Weird. How do you think they eat down here? I don't see any food.
They're demons, Yui. They don't need to eat.
I was still pretty sure they were just fruit bats, but I shrugged a shoulder. Okay, sure. Other door?
Other door.
We headed to the other door, swinging it open to find a similar room, but one with threats that even I wouldn't balk at fighting. 5 human skeletons faced us, each holding a pair of wicked-looking curved blades. They stared at us with glowing red motes of light in their otherwise empty eye sockets, but remained motionless as we stood in the doorway. I'll admit it, I was a little intimidated. Human skeletons were a lot scarier than slimes and fruit bats. I did have some questions about how they were going to move, or even how they were standing without any muscles, but I didn't bother saying them out loud. Instead, I focused on the fact that they hadn't stepped out of their room. Ken, why are they just standing there? I don't remember reading about anything like that.
Ah, it's one of the ancient blessings of the Silver Goddesses. It prevents monsters from moving between the rooms of a dungeon.
I blinked. So, they're just going to stand there, harmlessly staring at us unless we go inside?
Yes. No monster of their level could possibly resist the powers of the goddesses.
Huh. I sheathed my sword, taking out my bow. Okay, then.
What are you?
I shot one of the skeletons in the face. Or, at least, I tried to. My arrow disappeared the moment it went into the doorway. What?
Ah, yes. The same blessings of the Silver Goddesses unfortunately prevent projectiles from going between rooms.
I sighed. Okay. Do you have any anti-undead spells? Ken looked slightly abashed.
A traditional priest would, but as a sword saint,
he shook his head.
My bless weapon spell should allow our ordinary swords to work against them, however.
I nodded at that. Okay, let's do this thing. I switched back to my sword. Then I set down my lantern and retrieved the magic torch from my inventory. It seemed pretty sturdy, and I figured I could use it as an offhand weapon. With that, we stepped inside. The skeletons began moving immediately, some toward us, some not. I was worried at first they were moving into flanking positions, but honestly, I couldn't see any logic to their movements. The room was about 40 feet across, so it gave us plenty of room to maneuver. Ken and I stayed close. As the first skeleton neared us, Ken lashed out immediately, batting one of its swords out of the way. I took the opening, using my torch to deflect the skeleton's other sword and landing a slice across the skeleton's ribcage. Bones splintered, but the skeleton remained animated, pulling back and swiping at us. Ken and I danced backward, avoiding both of its slices. A second skeleton came at Ken from the right, and he managed a downward chop that cut off one of its legs before it got too close. It hit the floor, then just sort of started swinging harmlessly at the air. I focused on the first skeleton, dodging another pair of rhythmic sweeps from its blades, and then smashing it in the face with my torch. It staggered back, thrashing wildly and missing me entirely. I lunged in, jabbing my sword under its chin. The sword pierced upward with a crack, and the lights in its eyes faded.
Your party has killed a skeleton. You have earned 70 experience points.
I took a moment to boggle at the idea of killing a skeleton, then ducked a swing from one of the other skeletons that had drawn near. Two of the others had wandered into a corner, and they were flailing wildly. I had no idea why. Ken deftly hopped past the swipes of the floor-bound skeleton, then brought his sword down on its neck, cutting straight through with ease.
Your party has killed a skeleton. You have earned 70 experience points.
I parried two strikes from the newest approaching skeleton without any difficulty. It was about as fast as I was, but it always swung both swords at the same time, rather than using them in a coordinated fashion. It also seemed to favor simple, direct movements, straight up and down or straight across. They were heavily telegraphed and easy to dodge or parry once I'd recognized the sequence. I took a few more moments to make certain I had the pattern down, then made a simple movement as it withdrew from an attack, cutting a skeletal hand off at the wrist. Then, as it repeated its motions for the next attack, I did the same. Two fleshless hands clattered to the ground, each carrying a rusty blade. It kept swinging anyway, but didn't even adjust its distance. It just sort of swung at the air, as if it still had hands. I briefly felt sorry for it, but this was a skeleton, not a harmless fruit bat. Another flick of my blade took off its head.
Your party has killed a skeleton. You have earned 70 experience points.
We closed in on the last two skeletons. It was only at that point that I realized that one of them had a golden key hidden in its ribcage. That was a little weird, but it seemed like a poor time to question it, so I focused on the fighting. A few moments later, the battle was over. We knew the pattern to fighting the skeletons now, and they were largely harmless in small numbers. A golden key clattered to the ground as the last of the skeletons fell. Upon close inspection, it was comically large. I presumed it corresponded to the equally silly lock on the previous room's door. I poked it with my sword once or twice, just to make sure it wasn't a mimic or something. I'd heard of those things, and I wasn't going to let one bite me, not even once. When the key remained still, I gave it a dubious glower, then carefully picked it up.
Well fought. Ken slapped me on the shoulder. We might make it through this place after all.
I nodded. See anything else of value in here? He made a gesture at one of the nearby walls.
I believe I've uncovered a secret door.
I approached the wall he'd mentioned. It was covered in huge cracks. Looks more like weather damage to me.
Were this an ordinary building, I would agree. But this is a place sacred to the Silver Goddesses. No mere weather would cause the walls harm. No. This is deliberate.
Deliberate cracks in the wall? Why?
According to the legends of the hero, I believe this is where we are supposed to place a bomb.
I stared dubiously at the cracks. A bomb?
Yes.
I sighed. The goddesses want us to blow up their domain with explosives. Ken sighed, looking at me like I was a child.
No. Yui. It is well known to the goddesses that the hero favors the use of bombs. It is among his most common tools, and thus, to prepare the way for the hero, They hide secret treasures for him in passages accessible by such devices.
Okay, let's think about that for a minute. These places are all supposed to be holy sites, which the goddesses know will eventually be taken over by demons, right?
Yes. In each cycle, the demon king takes these sacred places and corrupts them, seeking to draw in their power for his own wicked purposes. He then hides the keys to his own lair within them, knowing that the power of his foul minions will make it so that none other than the hero can reach them.
Okay. Let's say you're one of the silver goddesses.
That seems a little sacrilegious, but I understand the hypothetical. Go on.
You want to put in treasures that only the hero can reach.
Right.
Other people can make bombs.
Well, hypothetically.
Even demons.
He nodded. True, though most wouldn't.
And you have enchantments that can make it so that only a hero can access something. Like, you know, the one on the pedestal for the hero sword. Ken folded his arms.
I see where you're going with that. But consider that if the goddesses put in a bunch of rooms that were warded by such potent enchantments, the Demon King could easily identify those rooms. Perhaps he could find a way to bypass them and get the treasure inside.
I mean, you figured out the cracks in the wall at a glance. Couldn't he just see those and, you know, put down a bomb? Or, like, hit it really hard? He's a Demon King.
Aye. Well, that wouldn't be traditional.
Okay, Ken. Never mind. Let's just get this over with and find out what's inside. Ken breathed a sigh of relief.
Good. Good. These discussions worry me at times, Yui. I understand you have concerns, but they border on heretical at times.
Sorry. I'll try to be a little more, sensitive.
Okay, let's get in there. We don't have any bombs. How would we...
I rolled my eyes. Phase. I stuck my arm through the wall.
I think that's cheating.
I shrugged. If it works, it works. Come on, I'll cast it on you as well.
I don't think... Maybe I'll just wait here.
I sighed. Okay. I stepped through the wall, sword at the ready. My phase spell let me pass through walls, but I didn't think it would make me incorporeal to other things, like monster attacks. That was a little strange, too. But magic often seemed arbitrary to me. There were no monsters in this room, just a single large, ornate box. There were no other doors in the room, either. Ken had been right about the goddesses hiding treasure, I guess. I approached the box cautiously. Could be a mimic. I hit the box repeatedly. Nothing happened. I waited a few seconds, then flipped the latch and opened it. Inside the box was a small circular device with a needle pointed to the upper right side. It took me a minute to realize what I was seeing. A compass. I picked it up, quickly noticing that it didn't have a north symbol on the top. I walked over to the wall, recast phase, and walked back out to show the object to Ken.
A compass that will show us the way to the end of the dungeon, where we will face a terrible boss monster.
I considered that for a moment.
I don't like it when you get that look, Yui.
I checked the compass. Give me a minute. I phased back into the room, feeling grateful for the cheapskate skill's reduction to my mana costs. I barely felt winded from the effort. I found the wall nearest to where the compass was pointing, then cast phase again. There was nothing saying I could only phase through cracked walls, after all. I quickly found myself inside solid rock. Simply walking through walls wouldn't always lead me into another room, of course. I must have found a place that was on the outer boundaries of the dungeon. I was still incorporeal, though, and I could keep moving if I wanted to. I moved forward a few steps, then turned back. I could have gone further, but I was worried about what might happen if the spell wore off while I was still inside solid stone. I imagined it wouldn't end well for me. Then I went back to Ken. I think I could probably get us all the way through to the boss room with phase, as long as it isn't higher or lower than we are.
Yui, please, I beg you, no shortcuts, unless they are those the goddess wills us to take.
Look, Ken, I'm not going to agree to that as a general rule. But if it's important to you, we can scout a few more of the rooms first.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ken sounded immensely grateful.
Can we go back and just try the key in the first room?
Sure. I did wonder why the Demon King would have left a key to get further into this place inside one of his skeletons. But I felt that asking any more probing questions was likely to cause Ken to have some sort of breakdown, so I kept it to myself. We went back to the first room. As expected, the key went easily into the lock. When we turned the key, the door slid open. Inside the next room were three more skeletons. We stepped in and dispatched them with ease. There was an open doorway on the other side, so we stepped through it. Inside the next room, we found a handful of slimes, a single large block, and two doorways. The doorway on the left had a strange, glowing, magical seal on it. The doorway on the right was open. Slime Slayer. I stepped in, easily dispatching the slimes with a single cut each. Ken glanced at the large block and the sealed door.
A puzzle room. Truly, this place is a testament to the magnificence of the goddesses. If one was a true hero, they could seek to solve this puzzle and gain access to the ancient secrets of the hidden chamber. But alas, I
walked over to the block, then shoved it. It slid to the left. There was a melodic sound, then the seal on the left door opened. Ken stared at me in wide-eyed shock.
Yui, how did you?
It's a block, Ken. There are really only so many things you can do with it.
But how did you know which way it was supposed to go?
I didn't. If it didn't go left, I would have just shoved another direction. Ken stared at me for another moment, then nodded slowly.
Yes, it makes sense. Trial and error. Such is a common method the hero uses to resolve such problems.
Are we checking the sealed room? He nodded.
I believe that would be wise. At times, the goddess leaves more treasures or hints for the hero in such rooms.
I led the way inside. I was a little startled by what it contained. The floor of the room was pitch black, as if it stood upon the emptiness of the void between the stars. Two fires burned on the left and right sides, seemingly without origin. In the center stood a bearded old man.
"So, you have finally come," he said, then broke into a cough.
"Are you okay?" I stepped in, sheathing my sword. He coughed again, then looked up at me, squinting.
"Yes, it has simply been so long."
"Inventory. Remove flask." A flask of water appeared in my hand, and I offered it to the old man. "Here, drink." He accepted the flask, drinking.
"Thank you, hero."
He frowned, looking me over.
Wait. You look a little different from what I was expecting."
"Let's not worry about little details. So, what are you doing here?"
"Ah, yes. Forgive me."
He handed the water flask back to me, and I returned it to my inventory.
"Long have I waited the coming of the hero, in order to give him an ancient secret."
"Ooh," I thought, "I like ancient secrets." "And that secret would be?" The old man cleared his throat, standing up a little straighter.
"Behold! The westmost peninsula hides a great secret."
I blinked. "Okay. What sort of secret?" The old man shrugged.
"I have no idea."
"Westmost in terms of this particular kingdom, or?"
"That is not for me to know, hero. You must take the wisdom of the goddesses and use it on your own. Were you not taught these things?"
I was just testing you? He nodded gravely.
Yes, of course. Testing is the way of the goddesses. You go with their blessing, indeed.
I wiped my forehead. Was I sweating? Maybe a little. Right. Do you want us to get you out of here, maybe?
He shook his head sadly.
It is kind of you to offer, Hero. But alas, my responsibility is not yet done. I must now await the coming of the next Hero.
What, really? Like, more than 100 years? He frowned.
More? Shouldn't it be exactly...
I put up my hands defensively. I got here really fast. Extra fast Hero. That's me. Most heroes are slower, so little over 100 years.
Oh!
The old man smiled.
You must be similar to the speedy runner Hero. He was a strange one. Only walked in here for a moment, then walked back out backward, firing an arrow with a bomb strapped to it. I never understood why.
That sounds horrible. Were you hurt?
Oh, no. I'm quite difficult to harm, I assure you. I'm immortal, and virtually invincible.
I coughed. Invincible? Could you maybe come fight the Demon King then? I'm sure a bit of fresh air would be nice.
Sadly, my immortality is contingent on me remaining here. And if I were to leave, future heroes would not learn this very important, definitely necessary secret.
I didn't know what to say to that. I just kind of stood there for a minute. Do you, like, want a book or something? I think I have a couple.
Oh, please. Anything. You have no idea how boring this place is.
Right. Inventory. I searched through the gleaming symbols in my view for books, pressing them one at a time. I handed him every book I had, then resolved to come back with more later. You take care of yourself.
You as well, Hero. Goddess be with you.
I left that room feeling very sincerely disturbed.
That was kind of you, Ken said. I don't think most heroes would worry so much about the fate of a single old man.
There was something deeply wrong with that, too, if Ken was right. The more I considered the nature of the dungeons and the cycle of the hero and the demon king, the more I was disturbed. I stepped into the next open door with renewed determination. The skeletons within fell easily to Ken's sword and my own. We paused briefly for Ken to renew our bless weapon spells. There were 2 more doors in this room, one straight across and one to our left. We chose the left door. Inside were 3 strange, green-skinned humanoid creatures. They screeched loudly as we entered, drawing knives from their belts. Hello? I raised my hands. Can we talk? One of them hurled a knife at me. Ken stepped in, his blade moving in a flash to deflect the knife.
Goblins, you can't reason with them.
I tightened my jaw, but braced myself. If I spoke their language, maybe... But I didn't. They rushed forward, knives in hand. I couldn't lose my resolve. The goblins were a bit shorter than we were, maybe 4.5 feet in height. Consequently, they also had shorter limbs. Between that and their shorter weapons, well, they'd made a pretty big mistake by charging in close. Reach is a huge advantage in a fight. Even with a short sword, with my longer limbs, I had nearly 2 feet in extra reach. Ken, taller than me and with a longer weapon, had even more. The goblins never got close.
Your party has killed a goblin. You have earned 150 experience points.
I frowned as they vanished upon their death, leaving behind little more than dust. Why did that happen with some monsters? One of them did leave something behind, though. Not a body. A piece of wood. I frowned, stabbed it a couple times to check if it was a mimic, and then picked it up. Ken gasped.
The boomerang. The legendary boomerang. One of the iconic weapons of the hero.
I blinked. I'm pretty sure this is just a normal boomerang, Ken.
Of course. We wouldn't find the magic boomerang so early in our quest, Yui.
But finding the boomerang is an important step. It is a potent weapon against flying creatures.
I narrowed my eyes. It's pretty much just a piece of wood. Wouldn't arrows be more effective?
Ah, in terms of sheer damage, yes. But the boomerang, when hurled by the hero, will return unerringly. It can be used an unlimited amount of times, and with sufficient skill, it can even be used to retrieve distant objects.
I squinted at the boomerang some more, unimpressed. You want it then?
I couldn't possibly.
Ken hesitated.
I'm no hero, Yui.
Neither am I, if we're counting purely by classes. Come on, you clearly want it. I extended a hand to him. He reached out gingerly, like it was going to bite him. I pressed the boomerang into his hands. See? It's fine, Ken. It's yours now.
Thank you, Yui. I don't know what to say.
He stood a little straighter then.
I will endeavor to prove worthy of this great honor.
I nodded. I'm sure you'll do fine. Come on. That path went on a little farther. We fought a few more skeletons and slimes, but nothing proved dangerous. One of the slimes dropped something when it vanished, a crude map. It had virtually no information, just a bunch of squares to represent rooms. One of the rooms was flashing red, though. After a moment of orienting ourselves, we identified the entrance, and I realized that the flashing room corresponded to the same direction the compass was facing. The boss room, then. We knew the route to the end of the dungeon. We didn't go that way first, though. Ken insisted that exploring the dungeon for more equipment was of the utmost importance if we wished to survive our entire journey. So we continued on a path that would lead us away from the boss room, at least for the moment. More skeletons fell easily to our blades. After a couple more rooms, we found our first trapped room. There were four blocks in the corners of the room, each covered in wicked spikes. They had eye-like symbols on each of their sides. The blocks were as tall as I was and probably about 4 feet wide, with the spikes adding a couple extra feet of danger to each of them. Fortunately, we could see them from the doorway. In the center of the room were several other blocks in a strange formation, clearly surrounding something. These didn't have spikes on them. They simply served as a barricade. Given that the spiked blocks were in corners that weren't anywhere close to the center, and there were no monsters present, I figured something was going to make the spiked blocks move. Any ideas, Ken?
I believe I know this one. When you step inside, those blocks will rapidly converge. If you are not hasty enough, you will be impaled on the spikes.
I nodded. So, it's more of a dexterity and speed challenge.
Yes, and proper timing. The spiked blocks will withdraw a few moments after you trigger them. You can lure them out, then rush forward as they withdraw.
I tested that quickly by stepping forward, then back. True to Ken's word, the spiked blocks shot forward as soon as I stepped in. They moved in a straight line, meeting just in front of the doorway without colliding with each other. If I hadn't stepped back, I would have been jabbed with those wicked spikes within a few moments. Then, slowly, they floated back toward their original positions. That took about twice as long as it had taken for them to rush inward. I tossed a rock onto the floor. The traps didn't react. Could we jump through? Or do they sense any sort of movement that people make? Ken shrugged.
I don't know how they work. Sorry.
I nodded slowly. Okay. Easy enough. I stepped in, luring the spiked blocks out, then rushed forward with Ken as the blocks retracted. We found a spot next to the large blocks in the center, out of a direct line from the spiked blocks. I worried the spiked blocks might rush at us again, but they didn't. They only move in one direction?
No, but they can only move orthogonally from their starting position, like tower game pieces. And they only move if you walk in front of the eyes on one of the sides. As long as we stand at a diagonal from them, they won't move.
That means... I cautiously walked closer to one of the blocks. If it could only move orthogonally, and only if the eyes saw me... I reached out and touched one of the spikes from an angle. The block didn't move. A grin stretched across my face. Inventory. And, with a thought, the block slipped inside. Ken stared at me.
You.
I turned back to him. Do these only respond to human movement or any movement?
I don't know.
I smirked. We'll find out soon. A few minutes later, I had three more spiked blocks in my inventory. Then, we simply had to deal with the stone blocks in the center of the room. I shoved on the first one. It didn't budge. A few more shoves, though, and one of them slipped out of the way to reveal a stairway. We walked down cautiously. It was darker below, and I kept a torch in hand as we descended. More bats flew at us. I rolled my eyes. Shoo! I swatted them out of the way as they approached. Toward the end of the passage, we found our reward. It was, to all appearances, a simple wooden bow.
Amazing.
Ken reached out toward it, then pulled his hand back. You want that too?
I couldn't, possibly.
I already have a bow, Ken. Go ahead. With the utmost reverence, Ken took the bow and slipped it over his shoulders. Then, with that in hand, we retreated back to the last room where we'd seen another door we hadn't explored. It looked empty, aside from a bunch of stone blocks. A ton of stone blocks. There was another door on the north side of it, wide open. It felt like a trap. Ideas? I asked Ken.
Well, it's possible there's another secret passage. We could push on the blocks.
I nodded in agreement. We stepped inside. A gigantic, disembodied hand, nearly as large as my entire body, floated straight out of the wall next to me. Its fingers splayed wide, then began to close as it flew toward me. I responded with a mighty battle cry to the tune of, "Ah, why are there wall hands?" Truly, my perfect composure under even the most surprising of situations is my most heroic quality. Ken rushed forward, jamming his sword into the hand. It sunk in deep, but the hand simply floated forward and batted him out of the way. Ken hit one of the stone blocks hard, falling to the ground. I smashed the hand with my torch. The flames blackened a patch of its strange blue skin, but the hand opened wide again, then shot forward with great speed and tried to grapple me. I hurled myself to the side, then jabbed the back of the hand with my short sword. It spun around to face me.
"Look out!" Ken cried.
Something slammed into my back, hard. A second hand had appeared right behind me, then punched me in the back. I winced at the sudden pain of the blow. The hand had hit me hard, nearly driving me into the open palm of the other hand. Ken was still on the ground, his sword embedded in the palm of the first hand. But he wasn't unarmed. He hurled the boomerang. It hit the first hand. On contact, the hand simply stopped moving. I didn't miss the window of opportunity. With a yell, I plunged my short sword into it again and again.
Your party has killed a lesser hand. You have earned 280 experience points.
Then I sidestepped a swing from the other hand, just barely. Ken caught his boomerang on the return, then hurled it again. Once again, the hand froze on contact. I went in swinging. This one recovered faster, forming a fist and punching at me, but I managed to dodge around one of the many blocks. Unfortunately, at that moment, another hand appeared through one of the other walls. Ken caught his boomerang again, then scrambled to his feet. I jabbed the injured hand again. It vanished. Another hand appeared on the opposite side of the room. Ken? He rushed to me. The hands floated closer, meeting with each other and balling into fists. Then they pressed together. I recognized the gesture. They were cracking their knuckles. Run? I asked Ken.
Run, he concurred.
We ran, straight for the other door. The hands followed us with surprising speed, but once we made it through the open doorway, we were safe. From them, at least. In my haste, I hadn't checked the compass and map. The door behind us slammed shut. Ahead of us stood a terrifying beast. Standing 8 feet tall, it had a single massive horn on its serpentine head, thick scales, and powerful rending claws. Is that?
Yes, Yui. That's a dragon.
We had, unfortunately, walked straight into the boss room. The dragon opened its jaws to greet us, but not in a polite talking sort of way. No. When it exhaled, 3 colossal balls of fire shot across the room toward us. We scattered. The balls of flame impacted against the walls, exploding. Even outside of the blast radius, I could feel the tremendous heat they emitted. I definitely didn't want to get hit by that. Ken reacted quickly, hurling his boomerang. It hit the dragon dead on in the forehead. Tink! It bounced off, harmlessly. Ken had a look of utter betrayal on his face as the boomerang flew back toward him. I took a few steps forward. The dragon turned toward me, opening its jaws again. Nope, nope, nope. I hurled myself out of the way of another blast of flame. Ken stared at his boomerang as he caught it.
I kind of left my sword in the last room.
I tossed my sword to Ken, and he caught it deftly. Then, I unslung my bow just in time to avoid another blast of fire from the dragon. Inventory! Remove arrow! I knocked the arrow as it appeared in my hand. Ken advanced on the dragon with a look of grim determination, dodging another blast of flame, but only barely. I loosed my arrow. It glanced harmlessly off the dragon's scales. The dragon turned toward me, opening its jaws wide. Ken lunged forward, trying to take advantage of its distraction. It swung toward him, almost disdainfully, and smashed him with a single massive claw. Ken flew back, blood trailing from his robes, and slammed into the back wall. Ken! I yelled in panic. I retrieved another arrow from my inventory.
I'm fine,
he grunted, shifting on the ground.
Moderate heal.
A brief glow surrounded him. He looked a little better, but he was still struggling to move. The dragon turned toward him. I took aim and fired. Again, the arrow bounced off harmlessly. I let out a curse. What can I do? Our weapons aren't working. The dragon ignored my shot, maintaining its focus on Ken. It breathed again. Ken, still on the ground, hurled his boomerang straight through the fiery breath. Then, with surprising dexterity, he tumbled across the ground in a roll, avoiding the fire. The now flaming boomerang struck the dragon and still bounced off. Ken had to twist to avoid his own boomerang, which hit a wall and then quickly turned to ashes. He had little time to look at it forlornly before the dragon opened his jaws again. This isn't working. We need to hit it harder. If we had Ken's sword... I glanced back at the previous room. The door had slammed shut, but was that really a problem? Phase. I rushed through the wall. The 2 hands were waiting for me, but I blitzed right past them. They slammed into each other in my wake. I grabbed the sword off the floor. Phase! I ran through the wall back into the dragon's room. Ken was standing again, barely dodging another blast of fire.
You came back.
Catch! I tossed him his own sword. He caught it, passing my short sword into his left hand. I'm going to distract it, I told him. Hit it when it's vulnerable. Ken nodded.
Okay, but how?
Inventory. Remove arrow. Blink. I reappeared in a corner of the room, right behind the dragon. I fired another arrow, aiming for an eye. It turned its head away in time, but growled and turned back toward me. Wait for it. Ken advanced slowly, a sword in each hand. and I concentrated on something else in my inventory. A spiked block appeared behind me. I stood in its path. I didn't know if it would move toward a dragon, but I did know that it would, most definitely, move toward me if I stood in front of its eyes. The block flew through the air rapidly, almost too fast to dodge at close range. But I didn't have to move, not in the traditional way. I just had to speak. Blink! I vanished. And the block kept moving. Massive spikes slammed straight into the dragon's chest. It howled in rage, spinning to look for me. It found Ken instead, just as he lunged. His sword caught it just under the chin. The dragon's head twisted upward, breathing fire into the ceiling. The room trembled around us. Ken struck again with my own sword, managing another scratch. And then the dragon turned down toward him. It was still alive, and his swords were stuck. Blink!